Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
You don't have to listen to Sports Grid. You can always go out in the woods, find a rabbit, take his foot, and rub it. Or you can get the winning edge
right here.
And you won't get any blood on you.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Scumbags!
Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
Level 2 has begun. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. I gotta say, it's a good thing I'm as good looking as I am, because we've got a new camera set up right now, and damn, it's like this is like those blue blocker sunglasses. Now I can see all the foliage. Now I can see. I was blind, but now I can see. All right, the National Football League regular season is finally upon us. It was an enjoyable game tonight, and it's going to be even cooler now that we've got a bunch of games to break down. And college football, really looking forward to the college football card. That big game, Saturday morning / afternoon, whatever, for Duck fans, 9 o'clock in the morning in the Midwest, East Coast, or whatever, noon Eastern, I guess 11 in the morning in some places. But noon Eastern, Ohio State and the Ducks. And I look at this football game, and normally I'd be like, in the old me would be taking the underdog. Yet, it's not going to happen. Ohio State are going to beat them, but Ohio State are going to cover. But to me, the best bet of the game is the over. Teddy agrees. Guys, Ohio State didn't even really play well. That was the kid's first ever game, C.J. Stroud. And it took them a little while to get going. It was kind of a sloppy game for them as a whole, and they still scored 45 points. And Minnesota's not a high school defense. You go into Minnesota, you hang 45 on them, and you don't play well. It's pretty scary. Like, Ohio State are going to score like 45, 50 points a week type thing. And against some tougher teams in the Big Ten, might be 40. You know what I mean? But, dude, how the hell are the Ducks going to stop them? The Ducks, I like the Ducks, but the Ducks can't stop these guys. And they won't be able to keep up. The Ducks will be able to score. Like, I could see the Ducks actually scoring like 30 points in this game. And still not covering. Like, I don't know. Am I crazy to think that this game could be 50-35 type thing? Or like 51-34 Ohio State. Ohio State gets into the 50s, and it depends on the thing is, though, if you're laying 14.5 points, that back door is going to be swinging wide open. And the Ducks won't quit. Right? So if the Ducks are down 24 points with 10 minutes left or something, they're not going to roll over. And they have to. They can't roll over on national television, so they could backdoor you on that, right? So I like the over a lot, 63.5 there. George Kurtz is going to step up. And so as I stated, for people who tune into the program every night, as we stated, we had some issues to work out, but they're dealt with, and we're new and improved. It's fresh, exciting, and new, like the Raging Redhead Cam Stewart would say. But thanks to everybody. Everybody's got a lot of work. We launched on new television networks, and, you know, there's only so many people that work at our network. So once again, thanks to Carl, Matthias, Cardano, and George. And George is a real cool, laid-back, nice guy, and poor George had to deal with two phone calls from me. And I'm not a cool, nice, laid-back guy sometimes. Sometimes I am. I'm like the dude in the movie. You know, the guy that wore the shirt. What was it? Bradley Cooper. What did he say in the movie? He goes, I'm not a bad guy. But he goes, sometimes I have to do what a bad guy would do. Like, the Late Night Anger Match Request. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. It's a Thursday night throwdown. We're not done talking football. We had a successful night tonight. We crushed the props. I want to get a look at my record and stuff. We'll track our record until it gets out of control. Thing is, I don't want you to track your record. Track your record because we're on the air 6 hours a day. Jackass, that's why. And we give a ton of in-game picks. We're doing this. We're doing that. And quite frankly, I really don't care. All I care about is my account. And when I look at my account right now, it's like, yeah, okay. You know what did me in tonight? If I didn't get stupid and round out all those teasers. I played all four sides, and I went 1-3 with that. It's okay. We'll do it again. We'll get it back down the road. But, hey, even better. I love that. I hit refresh on my account, and it was like, oh, okay, not bad. I was like, yeah, whatever. I sort of just hit refresh again. I'm like, hey, all right, it's not bad. And then it just popped up again. Some of these props you don't get paid for right away. So I think, am I paid for everything up? Am I up to do now? Up to date? So you know what? It's not bad, man. I have more money in my account than I started with today. And I have a $200 play in on the Raiders that I already put in. I would never do that before. Like, I'm always like a step ahead now. I'm like, you know what? I think the number's going to go down. I got the Raiders at +6. I got the Raiders from Babano's bookie at +6. Babano, best numbers in the business. what it was, it was 4.5. And I said, you know what? This number's got to come down. People are going to, the Raiders are to play to begin with, and Baltimore don't have any running backs, and I'll disagree with Teddy who joined us. I get it. Running backs are replaceable, but not all the way down to like 8th and stuff, like Teddy said. Like, there's a difference between, yeah, listen, our starting running back is out, but our backup is in. There's a difference. Then, yeah, you know what? We don't have Ingram anymore. We were going to give the ball to Dobbins and Edwards a million times. They're both gone. Oh, yeah, that Justice Hill kid, he's hurt. Like, dude, Le'Veon Bell can't play anymore. He's done. He doesn't think he's done. Le'Veon Bell should be fighting, like, Logan or Jake Paul or something. Shouldn't be playing in the NFL. And I like the guy. Bring it.
Relax. You don't have to actually play these sports.
You just know about them.
Keep it here. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Sports.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You don't have to listen to Sports Grid. You can always go downtown.
Hey, babe, you want to go out?
Scour the sidewalks, find a penny, and pick it up. Or you can get the winning edge
right here.
And you won't get Tomey. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Hey, Brian, care to place a wager? Tomorrow night on Fox's Celebrity Boxing, I've got Carol Channing beating Mike Tyson in three rounds.
Carol Channing. You've got Carol Channing, the actress, beating Mike Tyson, the boxer. Hell, give me 50 bucks on Tyson.
Yeah, you're in good company. Betting Freddy took the same wager.
Late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. The National Football League regular season has begun. We're kicking it. Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 204. All right, so we got a full house. We got George Kurtz ready to go. Big Card Julio will join us in about 20 minutes or so. Next segment, we'll have a full house with everybody. We're going to have New York. We got Chicago in the house. We got Las Vegas repped. We got everyone on the show here tonight. Captain Click. George Kurtz. I don't know what he's clicking. The results are already in, George. You lost. Sorry, Kurtz. How you doing, George?
How am I doing? How do you think I'm doing? Rough freaking night, man. The Yankees still suck. I mean, it was a great football game. My, what an opening night here. But, you know, Gabe, there's a reason why I always say, as far as my fandom, I would rather see my team get crushed than lose like that. You know, I think I aged 10 years. My nails are gone. Forget about it. I've been biting them the whole night here. Right? My hair's falling out, turning gray, whatever it is. But what a freaking game.
So, poor Kurtz, I sent George a message earlier today, and I said, hope you can come on with us after the game tonight. And he said to me, he said, I'll be there. He said, come on, though, between the Yankees and Cowboys, I got to get one of them, right? And I was thinking, I actually took a shot at you. Not a shot, but I brought you up earlier in the week on the show because I read one of your tweets. That was it. It was when Garrett Cole got injured. You're like, oh, this is just effing great. You said, I can't wait for football season to start. I saw your tweet, and I said to Cam live on the show, I said, well, you ain't going to be saying that on Thursday after what? Hey, at least they covered tonight. The game went over, they covered. If I'm a Cowboy fan, I like what I saw tonight, George. You hung with the champs. You didn't get embarrassed. Dak Prescott stayed healthy, looked damn good. That lethal offense that on paper looked so dangerous was actually lethal and dangerous on a football field on the road against Tampa Bay. I think there were some positives tonight. More, put it this way. Hell of a lot more positives about the Cowboys than the Yankees. Would you agree with that take?
Oh, 100%. As a Cowboy fan, I thought they would lose tonight, right? I've been saying that all week, and I didn't think it would be all that close. I was on Tampa Bay tonight, minus 6.5, so that didn't go as well, but I had the over as well. But as you said, Dak played well. My only negative on Dak would be, man, you can't settle for so many freaking field goals. And they ended up costing you. Tom Brady didn't settle for any except when it won the game. You know, so that was the only thing on Dak. Other than that, I want to see him play well against a good team. He did. And he was fantastic. That one interception was, I mean, it wasn't a great decision to throw into quadruple coverage, but the ball was there. I mean, CeeDee Lamb should have caught the ball.
You got to make plays, exactly.
The line held up. Even without Zach Martin, it held up. I mean, Tampa Bay's got a great front seven. You knew they were going to cause some problems, but it held up for the most part. It was curious that they decided to abandon the run so early, but if you know you're going to run into a brick wall, why not? Why not? You got a great passing game. Let's go. Put the ball up in the air. Didn't work out. You know, the defense, I know people still criticize it. Oh, he gave up, you know, 31 points. Well, you know, seven of those were on that short field after the interception. It was only a 25-yard drive there. So I'm cautiously optimistic. Just beat the Chargers next week. The first two games on the road, go 1-1, and we go from there.
George Kurtz, Sports Grid Radio and Television Networks, joining us on the Late Night Anger Management class. And one thing, George, you and I have talked about this in the past, and you've emphasized it, is that Dak Prescott, where are those comeback drives? And, you know, we've been critical of Dak in the past, but he's not the only one. We were surprised to find out that only six current active quarterbacks actually have a winning record against teams with a winning record, right? So it's sort of a thing that's thrown out there all the time about quarterbacks. Oh, you know, you see his record against teams with a winning record. Like I said, guys, there's only six guys, all right? And they're not even the guys that you think. There's a few of them that are, but I was going to say that, George. He led the drive down the field, right? They led the drive. A touchdown would have been better, but they led the drive down the field. He got him up. Yeah, we all knew you left too much time, though, with Tom Brady, right? You had to know, George, right? Was it .42? You had to know.
I tweeted it. As soon as I saw it, they didn't need a touchdown. They needed one more first
down. Yeah, killed exactly. You're not thinking about the points. I know, and they're exactly. That's my deal, George. I was the same thing. I'm like, guys, we can make the field goal from wherever we are here right now. Our goal is to kill as much time as possible because you can see the guy on the other side of the field there. That's Tom Brady.
Yeah, no, completely. I tweeted this out multiple times. It was like a minute 25 left. They had two timeouts. I mean, it was just too much. I was actually a little surprised that it was as hard as it was for Brady. If he didn't get that one pass to Gronk over the middle, 20 yards, it might have really been interesting. Those last three, four passes from Brady, he was just killing clock. He was never going to throw that ball in the field to play. He wasn't risking any kind of deflection or anything like that. Like I said, it was a damn good game. You can easily blame the game on Zuerlein. He did leave 7 points on the field. Granted, one was a 90-yard field goal attempt at the end of the half. I don't know what McCarthy was thinking there, but he missed an extra point, and he did miss a chip shot field goal. So it wasn't perfect, but like I said, I am cautiously optimistic. All right, we know the offense is going to score a million points, right? I don't think there's any doubt about that. It's all about the defense. I don't need a defense to be good. It just can't be terrible. Be somewhere around average. You could even be below average, and the Cowboys will do fine. It'll be a lot of Eric Coryell, 35-31 games. It'll be fun, right? A lot of overs, and props are going to come in on the overs all year long for the Cowboys. But they'll win some games. And this division, it's whoever gets the double digits first, they win the division.
Forgotten man, though, Michael Gallup in this offense. I don't know. Moving forward, we'll see what the deal is with that. But Amari Cooper, 139 yards. CeeDee Lamb, 104. So they combined for 243 yards on 20 receptions. George, I hit Dak Prescott over 1.5 touchdown passes. And then we also hit Dak Prescott over 293.5 passing yards. I also took Amari Cooper over 66.5 passing yards and receiving yards and CeeDee Lamb over 61.5. I thought the Cowboys could have some success through the air. They did, George, but very, very positive signs. Yet, they don't throw the ball to Elliott. All right, so I guess this is just established, right? I mean, all right, 2 times, 6 yards. Pollard 4 for 29. What about Elliott, George? 11 carries, 33 yards. I know it wasn't a running game, but I'd have my concerns if I had him on my fantasy team. And for the amount of money that he makes, like, he's just not the same player. I don't know. Like, what do you make of Elliott? You know what I mean? Like, if he's on your fantasy team, he's not worth the top 5 player this year. I don't think he's going to put out those type of numbers.
Well, you know, I got him on one fantasy team, and I changed the name to Zeke and Destroy, okay? So
you did. All right. Yeah, yeah.
I did. I had to have him to put the name on. And I'm not worried yet because Tampa last year had the number one run defense. So I think we saw what was going to happen tonight, and I think Dallas knew it. You know, with or without Zach Martin, we're not going to be able to run the ball. We're not even going to bother trying. And they didn't try. Well, they have 10 rushing attempts all game, if that.
That's a good
not
point.
Not counting Dak Prescott
point.
Rushes. Right, yeah. They didn't care. They went to the pass game here. So I'm not upset yet. But did you notice, I know they say he's in the best shape of his career. He looks small. He just looks small out there. And
yeah.
He had that one-on-one opportunity where it was a third and goal at about the 2-3 yard line. That was the backup safety. You got to make that man miss. I know Jarwin missed the block, but that's one-on-one in the open field here. You got to make him miss. And if you do that where you stop, you take away all your momentum. Go to the outside. Use your strength against his. Make him take you down. Don't stop. So I thought Elliott had his one chance to really show something there. Didn't get it done. So I'm not panicking yet. But that being said, there's definitely a couple of red flags raised.
I think too, if you're Elliot, it's going to take a couple of weeks, isn't it, George, with his new body? Like, he doesn't, like, you know what I mean? I almost liked him pudgier, to be honest. I just sort of thought, you know what I mean, it is who you are, and, you know, you could lose a little bit of it, but I'm just stating, like, is he a power back? Is he a make you miss back? Is he a run you over back? What kind of back is he now, George? I don't know. What is he?
I agree. He looks small.
You know what I mean? Like, what's his identity? What's it? And he's not a catch. He doesn't, like, he's not a nifty guy catching. Like, you know what I mean? He's never been known for his nifty, you know, nimble niftiness. You know what I'm saying? I'm just wondering, like, what's his identity as a running back now?
Well, I think he's going to be an ex-Cowboy after the season. I'd be very surprised if he's still with this team. I think he's done. Yeah. I think they'll go with Pollard.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Draft somebody else.
Pollard has more burst. You just see it, don't you? Just see it. It's the eye. You can see it. You see it.
I think it's why it's an easy choice to go away from Zeke. Pollard has that extra burst.
We saw it last year. I don't know what it is. Nothing against Zeke personal and stuff. He gets in shape, but whatever. The other guys pick up more yards. It's just simple.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's more than just odds. It's more than just matchups and lineups.
It's everything.
All of it blending together to give you the complete picture.
And you'll only get it right here.
On the home of the winning edge, this is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
I can't believe we're on the Canadian Olympic basketball team.
Yep, it's just that easy.
Wow, that was close. You can be the center.
Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. It's the Thursday night throwdown. The football season has arrived. Has Big Card Julio stepped in yet from the Windy City? I know we got George Kurtz in Long Island. All right, so we'll figure it out with Big Card Julio. We're establishing connections and contacts. But hey, so far so good tonight. No complaints. So, George, from a fantasy perspective tonight, wow, whoever had pieces of this game tonight really got a head start going into the weekend and just moving forward, except, man, everybody scored basically tonight, and everybody had a big night tonight, except Mike Evans, guy that I have on my team. And how about Rob Gronkowski risen from the grave again? This guy still got it. Rob Gronkowski tonight, guys. 8 receptions, 90 yards, 2 touchdowns for Gronk. Godwin, we played a Godwin the game. 9 receptions, 105 yards. Antonio Brown, 5 for 121. Explosive night tonight from a fantasy perspective.
Well, you said it. Outside of Evans and Gallup, everybody ate in the passing game. Now, Evans, if you're a Cowboy fan, Evans was blanketed, or I shouldn't say I'm blanketed. I don't want to make him sound great, but he was one-on-one with Diggs from second-round pick from last year, Trayvon Diggs. Good sign for the Cowboys that he was able to cover Evans. Or maybe Brady just said, hey, you know, the other cornerbacks are terrible. I'll keep throwing to them. So good and bad there. Gallup hurt his ankle early. That's why he didn't come back. That's why he had a quiet day, only about 7 fantasy points there. So everybody ate here. Probably a little surprised that Dallas did as well as they did against Tampa, but I don't think we're surprised about anybody on Tampa at all, right? We expect Dallas to give up to be fantasy gold really all year long, right? That defense is not very good. One thing they didn't do at all. I know Brady was touched a couple of times, but I'm not sure his uniform's all that dirty. And Lord knows, when it was crunch time, Dallas didn't get close to Brady.
So, George, let's get into the rest of the games coming into the weekend right now. Do you like the card? Do you have a bunch of picks already? What's your approach so far for week one?
Yeah, I mean, there's a 3-team teaser I love here that I think it's one of those where I know with teasers, there's a reason they're called teasers. I can't see how it loses here. But San Fran over Detroit? Yeah,
famous last words.
I can't see how it loses. But then again, it's going to come up and loses. No doubt it will. But I love San Fran over Detroit. I mean, come on. The Lions are already playing for the number one pick next season. So I'm a big fan, a big believer in San Fran. I don't care who the quarterback is. Garoppolo or Lance, we know it's
going to
be
I tell you
Garoppolo
what,
there.
That's the survivor trap of the week. That game. Imagine Detroit wins. How many people are going to get knocked out of Survivor?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And teasers.
You know, somebody was asking, I know you put on Twitter, you know, I'm not in Survivor this year either. I never do well in Survivor. I suck at Survivor. I have no idea why, but I am terrible at Survivor. I have no doubt that if I was, Detroit would win. Or another one I love the Rams over the Bears. I mean, it's at home, the Bears.
So what's your 3-team teaser? So all 7 points? So you have let's see it. All right, yeah.
San Fran, you want to guess the other one? San Fran, Chicago. I told you those two.
Okay, all right, let me look here. So I want to do the math here of something, but okay, so you got San Francisco. Let me see. All right, you got San Francisco and you got the Rams. So I want to say your third one. I'm going to say your third one is my Buffalo Bills.
I'm betting your Bills straight. I don't feel like I need that to go.
You're just going
to
lay the 6.5, you know, all right?
I listen.
All right, let me see. Give me one more guess. All right, let's see. Teaser. Who does George Kurtz think? There's no way they're going to lose. Not Kansas City, are you?
No, love that game.
I don't know. You got me on this one. Like, because there's no other obvious, like, you know what I mean, 7-point favorite. Like, so that's why. No, I can't get in here. Who you taking?
It's not a 7-point favorite.
Okay, let me ask you. Are you taking a teaser up or down with the third team? Are you taking them up? Or are you taking a dog like plus up? Or are you taking a favorite down?
This one I'm taking a favorite.
Favorite. Green Bay Packers.
There you go. You got it.
All right, not bad. I took two. All right, Green Bay Packers, huh? And so it's now 3.5. So you're getting the Packers at +3.5 now.
I think I got it at 4, though, if I remember correctly. Yeah, I think it was -4 when I put this in. So I think the Saints are a little bit of a mess. They're not playing at home. They're going to play in Jacksonville. And, you know, one of the reasons they decided to play in Jacksonville, it was sort of left up to the Saints. Do you want to play in Dallas? Do you want to play here? Is because Rodgers doesn't have a good record in Florida. And they figure the heat might wilt him down a little bit. He has a very good record in Dallas, which doesn't say much about my Cowboys. But so that's
I know they think the heat too. Exactly, they think that exactly. I think that's just going to piss Rodgers off, bro. Like, I don't know if that's going to matter this early in the year. Do you?
Agreed. Saints have a great defense. I don't.
As George stated, they had a choice. They had a choice in like four different places. Like everyone was, they were like, listen, you can play here. You can play in Houston. Houston makes sense. It's right there. Right? Like, you know, it's where everyone goes all the time. When there's a problem in New Orleans, you go to Houston. You go to, they
it's
say,
close to New Orleans.
Yeah. Exactly. They said, yeah, you can play in Houston. We'll do it later or whatever. We can move it to this round. And then they offered, and yeah, Jacksonville came up, and they were all over it. They said, yeah, let's go to Jackson. Like George said, they actually saw that Aaron Rodgers is like 2-6 or something in his career in Florida or something, whatever it is, 2-5 or whatever.
And they all, 3-4 offhand, but
They also think it's supposed to be really humid. And they thought that, you know what? We're from the bayou. We're used to the humid and stuff, that the Packers won't like the heat in Jacksonville. But like I said, to me, George, you're just sort of annoying the Packers by doing this stuff. You're like, really, guys? All right. Well, you think we're like going to suck because it's hot out? Like, it's the first game of the year, George. Like, they're not going to be gassed. Like, you know, I don't know. We'll see how it plays out.
I guess, listen, if you're looking for any kind of edge, fine. But I think Green Bay is one of the better teams here. So, and I think New Orleans has all sorts of issues on offense. And if I'm Green Bay, it's really pure and simple. I sell out to stop. Kamara's not beating me. I don't care. If those guys who made those big catches in the second preseason game, if they make them again, fine. But Kamara's not beating me. You know, I'm making Winston throw the ball down the field to Callaway, whatever they got there, Traquan Smith, you know, Trout.
I think you're right what you just said. Whoever they got there, the other guys. Callaway looked good.
He did. Callaway. He looked better than expected. But let's see what he does now when it matters. Let's see what Winston does now when it matters. Although I do think Winston will be a decent quarterback this year.
I like Jameis, too. I feel it's too bad for Jameis, though, the situation. He's got to get with the Packers in his first game there. He doesn't get the home field advantage. They lose his home field. He doesn't have Michael Thomas. Like, come on. It's not the best of situations for Jameis to be in here right now. They still do have Alvin Kamara, who's a pretty good football player. So you said you don't have a problem laying the 6.5 with the Bills. And I don't want to be the homer here. And I got the Bills to win the division already. And I think I'm going to put a win total into. I put 500 to win a division. I'll put a win total in on the Bills just so I don't have to sweat out these point spreads. But now that the game is approaching, I sort of keep coming to around the same score, George. Like, Teddy was with us earlier, Teddy Covers, and he thinks it's a lower scoring game. I don't know. I could see Buffalo getting – I think there could be some points here. For what do you think of the total? It's 48.5. What do you think of the total of this game?
I think it's right. Because I think the final score is somewhere around 27-20. And I think the Pittsburgh scores something late. I think Buffalo controls the game. I think it's one of those games where Buffalo controls it. We know they're winning the entire game. And Pittsburgh may score late to make it look closer than it actually is. I think Pittsburgh... Listen, Ben admitted this about 2-3 weeks ago in camp. Our offensive line is still a work in progress. It may be a month into the season before it really figures it out. That's all fine and good. I think he's completely accurate. I think Buffalo's going to kill him on Sunday. They're going to be in his backfield and his grill the entire game here. They're going to try to run with Najee Harris to keep it, to keep the Bills honest. That's all fine and good. Your offensive line still has issues. All right? It still does. I think Buffalo eats here pretty well. I think the Pittsburgh's more of a slog fest. I do think Ben's arm will be okay for this game, but it gets worse and worse and worse as the year goes on, just like last year. And by the end, you know, with the bad weather and all the use of it, he's a noodle arm again. It's just a matter of when here. I think Pittsburgh's going to play it pretty close to the vest here, but I think Buffalo controls this game. I'm not going to touch the over-under, though.
I don't know. Did I just leave Julio hanging, or am I still waiting for him to come back, Matthias? Oh. All right. We can welcome Julio Rosario. My apologies, Julio. It's a lot of stuff going on. You know the drill. You're a broadcaster. So we didn't mean to leave you hanging. Julio, how you doing tonight, Julio?
It's an honor to talk to George Kurtz, and all good, Gabe. Hey, it's live radio. It's all good, my friend. Congrats.
Yeah, welcome.
We welcome.
We welcome George Kurtz, Julio. Julio's the play-by-play voice of Chicago State. But actually, George, he's the play-by-play voice. It's the sport. I'll speak slow. It's called basketball. It's sort of like hockey. George, there's five guys on a court, but they throw a ball. There's like a basket and stuff like that. Said, and Julio, because, yeah, that's your tour. Julio, you know, Kurtz loves NHL hockey, Major League Baseball, NFL football. He cuts it off. He doesn't have time for anything after that, Julio. Just so if I tell him that you're the play-by-play voice of the Chicago State College basketball team, that doesn't impress him much. He's like Shania Twain. That don't impress me much. And the Windy City Bulls.
No, go ahead, Gabe.
Yeah, I said, and the Windy City Bulls, which is the G League, George. That's like it's like the AHL of the NBA. All right, well, we got Julio in Chicago, George in New York. We'll talk more football. So George thinks the Rams are going to roll the Bears. We'll see what Julio says for the Windy City next. Bring it.
Spot a sports gaming loser. They blame.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.
Stop the podcast!
Stop the podcast!
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Their losses on luck. We believe in information and strategy.
But we call it the winning edge for short.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Don't have to listen to Sports Grid. You can always go to a horse stable, find one with shoes, pry one off, and hang it over your door. Or you can get the winning edge
right here.
And you won't take a hoof to the head.
No!
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Hey, no! Want to come with me and Wally to the Super Bowl?
Oh, absolutely. My favorite team's in it. The Atlanta Falcons. Yeah, ever since I was a boy, I've always loved the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, they're good, but I wouldn't count out the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, I hear that President Clinton is going to be watching with his wife, Hillary.
Late Night Anger Management Class, this is Sports Rage. We're kicking it. Night one of the NFL. Once again, shout out to everybody for all the work that's been put in. To get everything going. Kurtz up in the late night hours. What time are you on tomorrow, Kurtz?
Noon. 12 to 1. Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi.
So what's the deal? So it's the first hour, you're on for the first hour, and then the next hour Joe goes into college football with Carver?
Yeah, they talk about this college football thing that I'm just not aware of.
Yeah, it's another one. So now, well, you're sort of, right? I'm aware,
but I had a decision to make back in the day. Either I'm going to be married or I'm not going to be married. Because I can't go Saturday and Sunday, all football. Go, honey, yeah, I'll see you on Monday. That ain't going to work.
And you watch every Yankee game. Julio Rosario with us. Don't remind you. Yeah. All right. So this game here, guys. My deal here is the Rams and the Bears. I'll throw it to you first, Julio. What's your opinion on this one here? It's the Sunday night game. Sunday night game. Point spread 7.5. And, of course, it's Matt Stafford's debut. Playing against a team that he's played against a million times. Obviously, against the Chicago Bears. Total 47.5 right now. What's the feeling in the Windy City about this game, Julio?
Well, the consensus in Chicago amongst the fan base is that the Bears have no real prayer with Andy Dalton. Everyone wants Justin Fields to start week one, but, I mean, that's just almost a suicide attempt to put him in against this Los Angeles defense. To me, it's all about, can this Bears defense, their front seven, create some sort of pressure, sort of alleviate the stress for their secondary? And offensively, can that offensive line at least create some running room to sustain a couple of drives? At 7.5, Gabe, this has the feeling of the Bears are within the cover distance within the fourth quarter, but then the Rams pounce on a late fourth quarter touchdown to take this to within 10. So I think L.A. covers the game. I just don't think the Bears can create enough scoring opportunities over the game to get them to that 7.5 threshold.
George Kurtz with us and Julio Rosario. So, George, I got my reservations and my doubts that Andy Dalton can stay healthy through this game. Like, literally. Like, do you trust? Like, I think Andy Dalton might get smoked in the first quarter. I think the football fans in the Windy City are smart people. I think they're right. I think Julio, you're bang on. It's a kamikaze mission. You can't take your prize star future quarterback here, George, and drop him in week one, can you, against the Rams? That's why you paid Andy Dalton $10 million to get beat up and get hurt, essentially. But what do you think? I don't think they have open hell with Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton used to be good. He's not anymore. Justin Fields will be the starting quarterback by the end of September, mark my words. But what about week one here, George? What do you make? I think Dalton's going to really struggle, and I think Dalton could get hurt on Sunday night.
Oh, I agree with both of you. Everything you said, I agree with. I think the Rams pretty much roll here. I don't want to see Dalton be the quarterback either. I think he is a sacrificial lamb for this game because they don't want Aaron Donald to eat Justin Fields or destroy his confidence or however you want to look at it. The problem is next week they're playing Cincinnati. And I can see once again, we're going to play against Cincinnati, a former team.
Sentimental. Yeah.
And then week three they're playing Cleveland, a tough team. Oh, you know what? We don't want Fields going against that team either. I think a lot of teams made a mistake in passing on Fields. A lot of teams, including the Giants, who made the trade with Chicago. I think Fields is going to be very, very good, and I want to see him. But the longer they start Dalton, the worse it's going to be for them. And maybe you're right. Maybe they'll get saved, and he will get hurt. I'm not wishing him to get hurt, you know. But
he got
smoked last year with the Washington football team. But as long as he's in there, they're not going anywhere. They're not going anywhere with Andy Dalton. You need the dynamic that Fields can provide here. I just hope it's sooner rather than later. But I think this game is 27-10. You know, I think it's an easy win for the Rams. I think the only way the Bears
to the under.
Is if I think it's under, yeah. I don't think the Bears are going to do much on offense. And I don't think the Rams are going to, score 41 points on their own. So I think it is an under in the Rams.
What about, before we throw it back to Julio, what about Montgomery? I didn't take him. And fantasy drafts. He was sort of there, and then he wasn't. He might be, him and Robinson might be better than people realize, right? But they kind of fly under the radar in Chicago. I mean, what do you make of Montgomery? Is he going to be able to run the ball? They're going to be able to run the ball against the Rams?
I have Montgomery.
They did lose Staley. They lost Staley, their defensive coordinator.
I got Montgomery in one league, Gabe, and I really wish I had the depth at running back to bench him this week. Really do. Because I think this could be another Ezekiel Elliott night where you're praying for double-digit points. Just give me double-digit points. Give me 10 points. I'll take it and run. And that's what I'll do. I will take double-digit points from Singletary. I don't know if you're going to get the touchdown. You'll have to be lucky there. So, no, I'm not seeing much in the run game there. I'm not. I think the Rams front four or front seven is going to eat here. They're going to play very well. Robinson, I stayed away from in all fantasy drafts because I don't like Dalton. You know, he's not very accurate.
Look at the numbers he's put up with crappy quarterback play over the years anyways, George. He's one of these guys still. He's done it anyways.
True, he's been fantastic. He's a fantastic receiver. I just for around where he was going, which around round three, and the other receivers who were there, I was always going with the other receiver. Let A-Rob be someone else's problem. It's nothing against A-Rob. Love A-Rob. It's a little like Singletary. I don't trust. You know, even when he's playing a decent team, I don't trust. He's not a great running back. Robinson is a great wide receiver. Just don't trust the quarterbacks. And once Fields gets in there, by the way, you know, it could take a little bit of an adjustment for him. And if you're once again, if you're a defensive coordinator, I'm not letting Robinson beat me. I'm not. Anybody else, but not him.
Julio, how are you going to approach the game? How are you approaching this game from Moneyline parlays, teasers, with the Rams and the Bears? It is the Sunday nighter, so a lot of us will probably have the back end of a game, right? You know, the 4 o'clock games, early games. How are you going to approach betting this game, Julio?
In terms of the spread, I'm going to wait until before kickoff. Again, since it's an island game on Sunday night, let's see if we can get it to 8.5. I would jump on the Bears at 8.5. I'm going to play under 24. If I can get 24.5, I'd definitely play that as well in the first half. I just had that feeling, again, we'll see a trend over the course of the season where the Bears really have a tough time scoring points in the first half. So I'm going to approach it that way. And I think Gabe and George, I'm going to play a lot of props in this game, whether it's Matt Stafford over a half, over 1.5 touchdowns, Andy Dalton to throw an interception. I think Cole Kmet, if I can get a low number on his reception prop, the tight end for the Bears, I might take a stab at that. Same with Allen Robinson. But I think generally I'm going to play under and attack some of the props in this game.
What do you think about the props in that game, George? Do you have any players in fantasy that'll correlate? And you know what? FanDuel does a great job. They used to put up props all the time, guys, late and stuff. So let's see. They don't have a full complement right now. They've got touchdown scores up. Darrell Henderson, 135. Robert Woods, plus 115. David Montgomery, plus 120. Montgomery can bang one in there, too. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I'm going to go Henderson to score here, but I'm very curious. Who is the goal line back for the Rams? This is why I'm a little worried. Is it Sonny Michel? Maybe he's the guy we should be betting on if he's the goal line guy. You know, the Rams don't seem to love Henderson. You think? Keep thinking about it. The draft Cam Akers, you know, you have Henderson. Akers goes down. You don't care about, oh, we'll give away some more draft picks against Sonny Michel, who's never been all that great. So they don't seem to trust Henderson. I have a sneaky feeling that Michel is the goal line guy here. So I'm curious about it. I might sprinkle a couple of bucks on him to score as well. It's my way of saying one of these two, yeah, maybe both, but one of these two is getting in the end zone.
Interesting. Sonny Michel is plus 170 to score a touchdown. Who else are you looking at, Julio, earlier in the day?
Anytime touchdown for the Bears-Rams game, I'm looking at the tight ends as well. Cole Kmet plus 300, Jimmy Graham plus 400. I just think both of those guys will be a nice security blanket for Andy Dalton as he sees pressure all throughout the night. Over the course of the day on Sunday, I don't want to take too many stabs at the board considering it's week one of the NFL season. But
come on, you're big card Julio.
No, I know, but I'm looking at San Francisco-Detroit, and I feel the same way with Bears-Rams, and maybe trying to get a combination of teasers with both sides. Because I agree with you, Gabe. I think the Lions could surprise some teams on Sunday, but I don't think they're going to win outright, so maybe some combos there. I think the Packers are going to win. I'll take the Packers at 3.5 and maybe look at Aaron Rodgers, a couple of touchdown over props. But that's about it. I mean, not many games really catch my eye. Maybe under 44.5, Washington against the Chargers on Sunday afternoon. But I've got a couple more days to decide. Maybe the Eagles as well. Eagles money line plus 154, plus 3 at plus 102 piques my curiosity a bit.
What do you think of that game, George? The Eagles.
It's going to be very hard to trust the Eagles right now. I have the over in that game. I think it's going to be points put up on the board in that dome. But I don't know. Listen, we don't know about Hurts. I mean, I think he's going to be somebody, but the Eagles don't know. So I'm not going to bet on the Eagles. I'm certainly not betting on Atlanta. Atlanta's sort of a poorer version of Dallas, right? Good offense, not quite the weapons here. Defense shaky. They need to score points there. I like the under in Seattle-Indianapolis. I know Wentz and Nelson are going to play, but I don't trust them. And I like Seattle to win that game as well. They travel well on the road. I know it's a 1 o'clock start, but they travel well. I know it's not the East Coast, it's Midwest, but they'll do well there. So I like Seattle in that game. I am toying with Washington as well. I haven't pulled that trigger yet. I think Carolina rolls the Jets, by the way. That secondary of the Jets is not good, and they lost a couple of defenders too during training camp. I think Carolina wins this game pretty well. I think Sam Darnold gets a little bit of revenge in this contest.
Yeah. What do you think, Julio? I'm surprised, Julio. You're disciplined, Julio. Although I gotta be honest, and I love you, Julio, so I'm not calling you a liar, but it's like, Cam, I don't believe you. By the time Sunday comes around, I got to believe you're going to have like 20-plus plays.
Well, I still got college football Saturday. I got European soccer Saturday and Sunday. So, yeah, I mean, I'm going to have a lot of plays, just not many on the NFL side.
Wow. All right. Well, listen, I want to get your soccer plays after, Julio, so and your college football picks.
One game, yeah. I do like, look, I'm fading Minnesota over the course of the season. I don't like the way the Vikings came into training camp. I don't like the controversy with the vaccine. There's just a lot I don't like about Minnesota. So I might take a stab at Cincinnati. Like, that's not going to be a pretty underdog, as Camp says. Camp Stewart says all the time, the dog with rabies. I might take the Bengals on the money line as an upset special. It's a low number, but +138 at FanDuel. A nice way to start the fate of the Vikings this year. I don't like the trajectory of Minnesota this season.
You buying in, George, to Joe Burrow's return?
I know if Joe Lisi's listening right now, he's turning over. He's not happy. He's big on Minnesota. I kind of am sort of interested in this as well. And on the Cincinnati side, I think Minnesota's a little overblown here. I'm not going to touch it, though. But I think if Cincinnati is going to play well, it has to go over. They're another team. No defense. All right, a lot of points coming up on the board here, but I could see Burrow getting off to a slow start. So odds are I will leave this one alone as far as the game, but I'll have some props.
I'm looking right now. You guys got me worried. I'm looking right now, Kurtz. You talk about running backs. I have Gus Edwards on one of my teams. Thank God I didn't double dip. I was going to take him twice. I didn't. All right, so I'm starting Saquon Barkley and DeAndre Swift this week, Kurtz. What do you think of that?
I don't like Barkley this week. I don't know if he's going to play that much, and Denver's got a tough defense.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Detroit's going to run the ball 1,000 times. Like Dallas passed tonight, that's what Detroit's going to do on the ground.
Well, my choice is, I could have played Fournette tonight. I have Fournette on my team. He had 10.9 points. All right, more with Julio and Kurtz on your side.
At Sports Grid, we don't have business hours.
We give you sports gaming strategies and information 24 hours a day.
7 days a week.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You don't have to listen to Sports Grid. You can always go find a clover patch, get down on all fours, and find one with four leaves. Or you can get the winning edge right here. And you won't get any ticks. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Late night anger management class. We got a couple more minutes with Kurtz. We appreciate Julio joining us and his patience. But I want to get Julio's college football picks on the other side, too, before we get Kurtz out of here. So, Kurtz, I got Gus Edwards. These are my running backs. My team for this Sunday. This is my last chance you. This is in the $100 league. I got Ryan Tannehill, Joe Mixon, Gus Edwards, Devontae Adams, Terry McLaurin, TJ Hawkinson, Deontay Johnson, Packers defense special teams, and Bills kicker Tyler Bass. Pretty solid team. Solid, not spectacular, but I think it's a good team. But I got Gus Edwards going to be out. So my running back options are Devin Singletary or James White. I'm going to go. What do you think? Who would you go with? You're the fantasy. Who would you go with here?
You're in PPR league, right?
No, standard. Standard.
Standard. Oh, then it's, you're definitely going Singletary. You only go with James White in PPR.
Exactly.
That's an easy
choice.
Singletary.
Standard. Yeah.
Who plays in a standard league nowadays?
No, it's like 0.5, I think. No, you know what?
Okay.
The PPRs are annoying, bro. People bitch no matter what. Oh, you should be half a point for this and 1 point for that. It never ends, Kurt. See, you're already complaining you're not even in the league.
Oh, you're right. No matter what you do, something. Jeez.
Oh, boy. Where's our boy Ventura? Where's Gucci? Ventura. Ventura's there? Ventura's in the league. Ventura's in our league. Ventura had like six ideas before. You got to expand this, drop this. I listened to him. He said, what about this? Waivers suck. He said, waivers are like old school. I agree with that, too. I prefer free agency. Julio, you a fantasy guy?
First come, first serve?
Yes.
Yeah, I am, but I agree with that rule. No waivers. Waivers do suck.
Yeah, waivers are annoying.
It's fair. That's the thing, though. First come, first serve is who's ever at their computer at the time. That's why people don't like it. I prefer first come, first serve, but I understand why people don't. Go to Superflex. More leagues should be Superflex. Play with two quarterbacks. And for God's sake, how about defensive players?
Thanks, Kurtz. More with Julio on the other side.
Winning isn't a mystery.
It requires strategy, a plan, and a few hours a week
listening to us.
So stop freaking out.
Get the winning edge.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.